this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze. Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze. Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.
Well, we're moving on.
Welcome to KFC Radio, the Moving On Up edition. The big acquisition has been, has gone public. We know it now. Everyone is moving to New York City. And we know now that we got the churning group behind us that there's going to be a lot more money to throw around, which means a lot more money for your boy Big Cat to toss around on BetDSI.com. Dan, I got to be honest, I'm absolutely terrified of what's going to happen to you with a little bit more money in your pocket. Things have already gotten bad. I guess it can't get any worse. You're just going to up your units, I would imagine. But it's not a good situation, I'll say that.
No, and it was actually probably – we'll get into all the reactions and everything. But the funniest reaction, I would say, was I, no joke, got like six emails right away asking if I needed a bookie in New York because I'm like the biggest free agent in the bookmaking market because people know that I'm such a sucker. So I'm saying this right now. I'm taking my talents to BetDSI.
There you go. There it is. The official free agent, they've landed him. BetDSI is one of the most trusted sports books online. Obviously, Big Cat has thrown his weight around there. And they've been around for over 16 years. They set a lot of the lines you're playing on. It's quick and easy. It gets A-plus reviews from all the sports book sites. And if you use the promo code BARSTOOL10, you'll get $10 for free on your next bet. That's Barstool, no space, and 1-0. You know, if Big Cat's going to do it when he makes the move, so should you. So it's BetDSI.com, Barstool10. Here we are, boys. Probably the most important episode we've ever done. What a day for Barstool in general. I mean, you know, it couldn't have been more fitting that on the day that we announced this merge that we had one of our knockdown, drag-out brawls with some internet losers.
It was so fucking perfect.
I mean, you cannot script it any better than that. Business Insider announcing it with me listed as K. Marco and K. Marco listed as me was like...
In my shirt. Off my fat belly out front. Like, they probably looked at that picture. They're like, are these guys fucking serious? We have to write about these fucking Joker. Yeah, you do, motherfuckers. Yeah, you do. Love it.
It's like the ultimate mousetrap, really. Like, you have no choice but to cover us. You can't ignore this one because of the churning group. I mean, that's really the main takeaway is, like, we can't be ignored now. There's you can't just be like, oh, that's Barstool. Oh, skinny jeans, size 6. There's no stopping us now because for some reason these idiots have bought into the Barstool way. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know. I don't this care. Like, I'm happy we did it.
This is like in Die Hard when they find the dead guy and on his chest, like, now I have a machine gun. Yeah. Like, that's what just happened. Now we have a machine gun.
Somebody else put it to me as this is like when Happy Gilmore learned how to putt.
Right.
Like we're going to have all the infrastructure and the technology and the sales. So you think about how the success we've had while literally doing things completely wrong, like actually getting in our own way every single step of the way, and now theoretically at least we should have somebody to do all that stuff for us. I mean, we said all this before with the Dev Nest. I remember being like, oh, we're going to triple our revenue like that because we're going to have a new website. And that obviously crashed and burned. But Peter Chernin and his cronies are definitely a much – They're a little bit higher than DevNest Nate, yep. So I think we're in good hands.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked at the response. I thought people would be upset, say we're sellouts. I feel like 95% of the stoolies realize this is going to be so much better. Like, we'll get into it about, you know, moving from the cities, but we're going to be killing it. all of us in the same office. Like, this alone, just the Skype sucks. We're going to be all sitting in the same room, be able to do it, talk, and laugh. Right.
No more echoes, no more range video, no more audio levels off.
It's perfect that it's echoing. Right.
I know.
Yeah.
Some things, the stars are just aligning on this day as far as announcements. I mean, doing KFC Radio with you guys in the same room is going to be a million times better. I mean, it's our longest running podcast. It's our most successful podcast. And the fact that we're going to make it like exponentially better is.
Which, by the way, to pull back a little bit of the barstool curtain, when we were going through this entire sale process, Kevin and I, when did we first start getting involved? Like September. So it's been a long time. It's been on my mind for a while. It's good that it's finally out. When we were going through all the numbers and stuff, and it was like, what does well, like what, you know, where does everything rank? And Dave realizing that KFC Radio is like the most listened to podcast, but like the thing that he's ignored for the last 4 years was maybe the sweetest moment ever.
He sent me an email. So it had all of our shows listed out, and he's looking at the numbers, and he sent me an email and was like, I don't get what's going on here. Like, it says that KFC Radio does all these downloads and the rundown only does this much. And I was just like, that's just the numbers. And he was like, but I don't get what do you mean? How could that be? And I was like,
How does that work?
Yeah. It was just so great just to be like, dude, you have literally not paid attention to this show for like 3.5 years. And it is, it was a good piece of the puzzle when it comes to podcasts and what we're doing in the future.
Yeah. Podcasting is a heavy, heavy piece of what we're doing going forward. So for me personally, that feels kind of vindicating because when I was doing KFC Radio in the beginning and Mail Time, everyone was like, podcast, bro? What is this? That shit is old. That shit is done. Like, what? You're going backwards. So it feels good that it's like, actually, no. It's probably like the most important thing in the media internet world right now. So the fact that we have a head start of 3 years of nonsense is very good for the three of us. There's just so much to get into. We're going to do some tweets as opposed to our normal voicemails just because it makes no sense to not do all the all the silly shit. So right. I'm trying to find some. Let's start with this one. This comes from Sarah 1561. Sarah G 1561. What's up, girl? Biggest fear of transition back into office life. Now, this is the one thing, and especially coming from me. I blogged about the Cubicle Chronicles for years, Mail Time for years. I've always said a job just becomes a job and the office just becomes an office and it's not going to be all roses. Right now everyone's excited. It's going to be fun in the beginning, but obviously eventually it just becomes the place where you go every day to work. So are you worried about transitioning back into the cube life, Dan? Feidelberg, for the first time ever, you're going to be in an office.
I'm so thrilled.
To have other people in the office and not just Dave.
I was going to say, you're not transitioning into an office for the first time, but it's going to have much more of a real feel. But you just have backup. You have cover now. You were in there. You were in the trenches all by yourself.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see Dave, like, when he doesn't have just a bunch of people he hired to, like, push around. He's just like a bunch of insert, like a blind kid who can just make fun of. Feidelberg's always been outnumbered in that regard, where it's just like Davis surrounded him with a bunch of people that he can just push around. So it will be an interesting dynamic for sure.
My favorite thing about this is that Dave's just an employee now. I'm just gonna be like, hey, dude, I don't know, man, you're just a coworker. Yeah. Shut the fuck up. I don't care what you say.
Okay, so here's another little. We'll bring back the curtain. We'll do that a few times on this show. When we got to New York, so I flew into New York on Monday because we were going to plan on doing this. We filmed it on Monday afternoon. And I said to Dave, I was like, so when are we going to release this? And he's like, well, it depends on when like Chernin and the PR company say we can. And I was just like, oh, so your new bosses? Like, because I know old Pedro's would have released it whenever he wanted to. And he got so mad at me. So that would be so much fun. Anytime he gets told to do what to do, I'm going to revel in it.
Now, these guys,
Today when they called, like, people, like, Lewis was actually on the ground laughing because the PR company was like, maybe we don't release today. He's like, no, we're going today. And they said, well, we're not. Like, we're not going today.
Well, if anybody has any fears about our content, at least as we've agreed upon, content should still be in our hands. So the PR group was the one who was a little upset today with me and the Cauldron blog. But I think the Churning group understands who we are and what we are, and they said they have no intentions on changing what we do. We'll see how that all plays out because, you know, I remember I'm reading over some of the paperwork that we signed, and there was some stuff about, like...
I didn't read any of it, but yeah.
Yeah, well, there was, like, one clause about, like, defamation and, like, anything that could, like, represent the company poorly. And I was like, do you know my background? Do you know the things that I say? Like, But, yeah, actually, that's funny you bring that up, Dan. One of the most barstool parts of this entire acquisition was the paperwork. We all signed, like, life-changing agreements from non-disclosure to employee severance and termination and all this stuff about the future. Stuff that you should probably read over yourself. You should have a lawyer read over it. You should have an accountant read over it, like, multiple times for weeks on end. And I think we all signed those papers in, like, 6 hours because Dave was like, you got to do this now or it's not going to
get done. Not even 6 hours. Like, we got the email at, like, 11 a.m. And I guess it was exactly 6 hours, come to think of it. We got the email at 11 a.m. and it was like, I need to buy into business today. And I just printed it and signed it. And that was it.
I had
didn't read a single fucking word.
I had Dan ready to sign for me. I was out. And I was like, dude, yeah, just do the electronic signature thing. I don't know. How many times have you heard about Facebook and Zuckerberg and people getting screwed over? And I was always like, I'm never going to get that guy.
I'm ripe. Oh, boy. I am ripe to get screwed over. Like, I already know. I'm like, 3 years. They're going to be like, hey, can you come on in this office? There'll be like six lawyers, me on one side. They'll have all my contracts that I signed. And they'll be like, okay, so you're screwed here, 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 and here. And I was like, okay. They'll like hand me like a mint and I'll walk out the door. So, I'm right. Yeah, right.
There's going to be a moment where I'm like, you can't do that to me. And they're going to be like, yeah, we can, bro.
Yeah, they have all the paperwork now.
Yeah, we can. But the original question, the office, how scared I am to move back. I am very scared to move back to an office life. I mean, showering, commute.
Commute is brutal, Dan.
Commute, just like not being able to jerk off when I want to.
Mm-hmm.
Like all that little shit, right? You know, Stella being like, you know, sitting on the couch. I'm very, very nervous. I think more than anything is having to like put on reasonable clothes. Like I'm going to have to, I actually thought to myself, I have to get another pair of pants. I only have like two pairs of pants. I'm going to have to buy a new pair of pants. I need at least two more pairs of pants. That's crazy. That's a lot of fucking things, man.
Yo, when we just talked about how we signed over our lives completely, and Dan's concern is buying a pair of pants. Like, that should be a concern. I need another pair. No, but it's
I'm in one. I'm in sweatpants and a hoodie today. I don't picture my ensemble changing too often. Yeah, I'll dress up some days, but a lot of days will just be like joggers and a sweatshirt.
Again, I mean, this right now is new and exciting, and you're probably going to be like, let's attack it and like go with the gusto. And within like 2 weeks, it's going to be like, nah, let's just go back to the way we were doing things and like mail it in. But Fights, you'll benefit the most.
I'll benefit by far the most.
I will benefit. What's the opposite of benefit? That's me. Because having to be in an office with Portnoy every day
I'm pretty close to the bottom as well. Yeah, just like moving. Chicago is Chicago's the best city to live in the world, and it's got the easiest. My rent is going to be going up by like five times. All this shit.
So I was talking more from the point of view of being around Dave all the time now. But everybody moving to New York is. It makes me so happy because it's just like, ha-ha, I'm not the only one anymore, motherfuckers.
I don't
got to deal with the grime and the dirt and the homeless and the prices and the crowds and all that shit.
Bro, listen. The apartment prices in Boston, New York aren't very different. The prices to live there aren't very different. I have a homeless guy who lives in my entryway. I'm not going with too much of a change as far as all that stuff goes. I guess the subway will be a change. That's about it. Everything else, like, a homeless dude lives in my apartment. So don't fucking tell me about bums.
How's that going, by the way?
The bum thing for you. I mean, just the fact that I can't just walk a mile and a half to Wrigley every Friday afternoon. Like, I'm already depressed about that. But I will say this. I know everyone, like, kind of is all up. And I know the biggest question or biggest fear is, like, we're not going to cover our cities. We're still going to cover everything. My cable package is going to be $10 billion because I'll have every expensive. Yeah, I'll have every league pass.
My cable's expensive as it is. Like, going to have to add MLB, what's it, MLB extra bases, NHL center ice, fucking, yo, I'm probably not going to get full court.
We're a real company now. The fucking powers that be pay for that shit. That's not coming out of your pocket.
Right.
Yeah.
I imagine Portnoy's still in control of everything. I expect, like, expense stuff to not change at all. Like, that's still all on us. I don't expect health insurance. Like, I don't really foresee that changing.
Well, it said, all the paperwork said, like, you are invited to participate in healthcare and a 401k, and I was like, I don't know what that means. I'm probably just, after all the fucking shit I've talked about healthcare and shit, I'm probably just not going to do it. I'm just going to be like, it's too much of a hassle to call and set it up. I got my wife's. I'm good to go.
I'm going to have my mom do it. I'm going to have my mom call.
Exactly. Just set it up.
But everyone would chill out about that fact. I'm still going to be watching every Bulls game, every Cubs game, every Blackhawks game. I guess I have to watch the Bears still. I wish I could just like be like, no, I'm good. I'm not going to do the Bears anymore. I'm just going to cut the cord on the Bears this season because I don't really care anymore. No, but don't worry. And I'm also going to come back a lot. I think people are worried that, like, I know Dave and Fights, like, every time there's a big game, you guys be back in Boston. The trip to from New York to Chicago is actually easier than the trip from New York to Boston.
Put it this way. People feel like I represent New York. I never leave my apartment. I hardly ever leave the apartment. So if you think that I can cover New York and have a feel for everything, then Dan can have it from – we can cover fucking our cities from Mars. It's the internet. You don't have to be in a physical place anymore, you idiots. Give me a break. Plus, as somebody said it best – they said to me, you can't take the Wrigley out of Big Cat.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lifestyle. That's a personality. That ain't going anywhere.
No. So, and I'm going to be back for, I did not get rid of my season tickets. I've known about this move for a while now. And when my season tickets were to be renewed, I was like, I'm probably going to have to eat the costs on all these because I'm not going to be able to go to like half the games or any of the games, but I still got them. So I'm an idiot.
But
at least I'll be there for the entire playoff run.
You're showing commitment. It's just like that's what a real fan and a real person from Chicago does. So let's relax with all that nonsense. Plus, any sort of hit that we do take based on a little bit of distance between these guys and some of their cities will be blown out of the water by the quality content that's coming out.
Correct.
So, again, let's not really freak out about it. So everybody's going to be moving to New York. That means everybody's got to find a place to live. And Kevin Carmesino asks, do you think Hank will live with Dave and the First Lady?
Dude, Hank's understanding of how much New York costs was so funny. He does not get how much New York costs. He does not, like, he's not put that in his brain yet. No. It's
going to be great. I don't blame him. It's almost hard to wrap your head around some of the pricing. Not even just apartments, just like random cost of living. Beer is $1 bazillion. Dinner is so much money.
Dude, I lived there for a year. I never noticed the difference between there and Boston, ever.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, I wouldn't know it as much as Boston.
It's like they're both just insanely expensive. Like it's not like we're coming from the Midwest. It's like $7 for a beer and $3,000 to live for a month.
Changed for me. So what? John, where do you think you're going to end up living? I think I'm probably going to live in Brooklyn, which I don't know if that's, like, the wrong choice.
That's such a long commute, dude.
No, it's not.
I like Chelsea, because I need to, like, walk to the office.
No, Brooklyn's not as long of a commute as you think. At least I've been under, like, people told me you can get there in, like, 25 minutes.
No, nowhere is really that long of a commute. For assholes like me who live in New York, we have this, like, mental barrier where it's just, like, if you live uptown, you're never going downtown. Vice versa. You never want to go to the outer boroughs. You want to just stay where you are. But everything is like 25 minutes apart, max. I mean, it's just all crammed into like one little fucking circle. So,
and the good thing is, I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm assuming that like office hours stay the same. So like you wouldn't have to go till 10, so you'd miss rush hour.
Oh, we're going to be taking a lot of liberties with office time. I'll tell you that much. I'm already campaigning for the No Office Fridays movement. I'm definitely going to be on like a 10-4 idea. Well, rundown's done. I'm out of here. So we'll see how that all shakes out. But you and Dan, so you coming from out of the city where you don't have these dumb preconceptions that I have, or New Yorkers have, Brooklyn to Manhattan is really not going to be a big deal.
Well, I have a lot of preconceptions still. Like, I haven't been on... I have a lot of preconceptions. Did you see that clip when I basically trashed New York? And, like, all those things are true in my heart, and I'm still going to go move there. So, and I, like I said on the rundown, I love the schoolies who, during today's Twitter war, were basically like, Big Cat, you're a sellout. You're trying to distance yourself from Barstool. I'm fucking moving to a totally different city that I don't want to be in and sitting 6 feet away from Dave Portnoy for the next however many years of my life. I am not distancing myself from Barstool.
And on the flip side, I've had so many stoolies tweet at me saying how lucky I got because I don't have to go anywhere. And listen, I travel for Barstool all the time. I would have uprooted everything and gone wherever we had to go. It just happened to be lucky that it was New York. That's all.
We were in New York. It was freezing cold. And we were just like on Monday before during the press conference, like, why didn't we do L.A.? Why did we not do L.A.? That was so stupid of us. So fucking dumb.
So what was also funny was when we were all in New York. Now, and Fights, I feel like, you know, you lived here. Plus, you're just like a more normal person. So I don't think you'll be a fucking idiot like this. But we were walking from like 28th up to Times Square to film that stupid video. And Gaz was like, all right, so that's like, 14 blocks up and like cross streets? What do you guys call them? I was like, do you mean avenues? He's like, yeah, avenues. I was like, I don't care if you're from New York or Boston. Like, you just sound like a goddamn idiot. Portnoy was like trying to cross the street and almost getting hit by people. He was like hanging out with the bums like they're fucking a circus attraction. I was just like, oh man, New York is going to eat these guys alive. So that's going to be one of the funniest things for me is I'm going to force Portnoy to get on a subway at some point. I'm going to watch him like crumble in because, you know, he's big fish in a small pond. Not anymore. So watching that all go down is going to be funny. Fights, you'll just fit right back in. You'll probably go back up to Ryan's daughter. Order some pizza and just get shit fixed.
That's the fucking name of it. I've been trying to think of the name of that bar for like fucking 6 months. Ryan's Daughter. There it is. I was Googling like New York City bars named after Irish movie, and it was just like so much fucking shit happening. That I love that fucking bar.
Yeah, Ryan's Daughter is a great spot on the Upper East where it's just like this is dirty drinking with probably everyone in here has a drinking problem, and that's how we like it.
That was my favorite. The bartender gives you a shot of whiskey with your tab every night, and it's like it doesn't hit you until you get home, and you're like, why the fuck did I do that? It's awesome. What a great bar that is.
There's going to be a lot of changing in the nightlife. I got a tweet from Joe Polano. He asks, who's going to be the first person to take someone home from a New York City bar, Hank or Fights?
Good question.
Now, let me just throw this out there. I think Gaz already has like a harem of chicks lined up. So yeah. I'm picking Gaz to win this bet. But if it's between Feitelberg and Hank, I'm definitely giving Feitelberg the edge because, again, I think Hank is going to be like Kevin McAllister in Home Alone 2, just like lost in New York, not knowing what to do.
100%. Feitelberg actually, like, I think this is going to – you're going to play pretty well in New York. So, like, if you're in a Brooklyn area or something like that, I feel like you got that, like, hipster cool guy vibe. You dress well. You're New York. Like you have that. You can definitely play that part where girls are like head over heels because the guy's wearing like a cardigan or something. Do you not agree? I'm just saying. Gaz, when we were in New York on Monday, he already was hitting up girls. He and I had a hotel room together, and he did the whole thing. He did like the. What if I brought a girl back, like, to our hotel room on Monday night, like, trying to float it out? I was like, Gaz, shut the fuck up. I was like, dude, don't even float that fucking idea. Like, I'm not even sitting in a room with fucking right now.
What an asshole. I agree with Dan, though, Fights. I think New York is going to – I'm sure you want to stay home. I'm sure, you know, nobody really wants to uproot everything and move. But when you hit your stride in New York, last time you were here – you literally had no money.
Last time I was here, I got fired like 3 times in like 6 months. And it wasn't firing. It was just Dave calling me and saying, I can't pay you anymore. And it was like Office Space where it's like, I'm just not going to pay you. You can keep working if you want.
And the pay was like a couple $100, wasn't it? It was like nothing.
So a couple $100 a month, yeah.
So last time around is not going to be.
I was not exactly. I lived with a drug dealer. I was not exactly balling.
Well, that, that part's pretty cool. I wouldn't call that a negative.
He was a weed dealer, and I don't smoke weed, so it was more of a nuisance than it was fun. Like, it was like, oh, this fucking guy smoked weed again. It stinks in here.
I think I'm tired. Everything he says, though, about your style, it's gonna mesh well with New York. It's gonna play real well. And you know, as much as I rail on this city, when you're single and you're partying, it's a pretty fun time.
Well, the one big
thing is, do you want to even be out there partying? I know we've talked about this before, where you prefer to just like be on your couch on a Friday night and get shit faced and eat pizza and not worry about
it. Yeah, I might be. I think in this scenario, I'm giving the edge to Hank because I think I'm just a little over the tipping point of like partying it up at these bars.
Yeah,
it's like the worst. I was thinking about it. If this move was happening when I was like 24, I'd be so pumped. And right now, I'm like, and there's so many people and there's so much noise. Like, why? Come on, man.
There's a reason Dan and I have been talking heavy about, you know, New Year, New Me. I mean, we got to get in city shape. Like,
yeah,
you know, you got to be like, I mean, that's the body Hank has. Hank has a New York City body. You talk about that, how I had like the style for it. Hank's got the body for it.
Well, no, I don't disagree. But to go back to our earlier advice last year to Hank, if he had just played the skinny tattooed hipster role, he would be ready to take New York by storm.
Well, he didn't fucking change at all. Like, he might have tried to add that weight, but
he kind of got fat, man. He didn't have that same, like,
just popping around here. He was just popping around in an Under Armour shirt. He's still skinny. He still looks.
Oh yeah,
I make fun of him for his bum belly, but he's still skinny.
I forget that he like starved himself on the Dixie tour and looked, like emaciated. So yeah, you're probably right in that respect that Hank is going to be getting out there and getting after it. But I wouldn't sell yourself too short, Feidelberg.
You have 4 months. 4 months to get to tighten up.
There's also an element, I would imagine, of like, if I were you, I'd be like, well, if I'm going to this city, I'm going to like at least reap some of the benefits of it. You know what I mean?
I would imagine I'd try a little bit.
I would hope you give it at least an honest effort. Let's see. All right, let's get back to more office talk. This is from Moneyline Parlays. Who's going to be the guy in the office that never shuts the fuck up?
I mean, we already know.
I think we all know this is Nate. Now, this is what's going to be funny, is all of these personalities now in the same room. It's one thing to do a rundown together. It's one thing to even do this show where we all get along. It's another thing to be all in the same room. You can't really do, like a lot of people get tough on Twitter or on the blog and take shots at each other and stuff. When you see those same people every day, the dynamic completely changes. It's going to be a lot to, like, work through in the beginning where it's like, all right, now, you know, we were buddies on the internet. Now you're, like, the dude who sits next to me who does whatever XYZ that pisses me off. It's going to be interesting.
I think we need in the office, we need, like, a corner with, like, the big boxing gloves and, like, the helmet. And you're like, yo, listen, Kevin, we got to swing real quick.
Right.
And just
avoid all the, like, you know, passive-aggressive nonsense and all the shit that I always talk about in Cube Life where it's just like, you hate these people but you can't say anything. It's just going to be like, yo, that blog you wrote pissed me off. Let's get in the ring.
Just ring. I think it's a great idea. Yeah. Just a little ring, camera on it. Like, Nate subtweets me. Nate, in the ring. Let's go.
In the ring.
It doesn't have to be bare knuckles, so like, it doesn't have to actually hurt, but just a little fucking aggression taken out. Like, you can wear, like, the mask and you wear, like, not real boxing gloves, a little bigger and puffier. Yeah, and just fucking swing on each other a little bit.
If anyone actually thinks that anything's going to change, just know that everything Davis said, he, like, thinks this is going to be the house of, like the fun – Dave Portnoy's fun house. He said in the Periscope he wants to build a cage for Nate, a bird cage. He, like, I'm surprised if we show up and the whole thing is built like a pirate ship and we're all sitting, like, on deck together. So it's – none of that's going to change. Unfortunately, Dave's brain is still going to be calling all the shots in that regard.
The original idea was to get like a full-blown factory of sorts. He wanted like a Rob Dyrdek factory. And that was another thing where it was like, some people have no conception of New York City. Because to get a fantasy factory in Manhattan, where he originally wanted it, would be like $3 million a month. It would be, like, insanely expensive. I remember being like, we can do, like, 1/100th of what you're thinking about. We looked out at Long Island City. We were talking about going out to, like, the far reaches of Brooklyn. All so that we could have, like, legitimately Dave's Funhouse, where it was... I was like, I remember at one point saying to him, like, you know that ultimately at the end of the day, though, we're still, like, bloggers who need a computer and, like, a microphone. Like, we're not American Gladiators. We're not, like, a goddamn game show here. I don't think he, like, quite grasped that we would just need, like, place for the salespeople to sit. Place for the tech guys to sit. It was all like, we'll have a basketball court, we'll have a trampoline, we'll have funhouse mirrors. We'll have... It's crazy.
It's insane. He wants us to be, so we are 5-year-olds in Dave's brain. So it'll be interesting to see how the office, I know we'll have some video games. I've actually already put in a request. Feidelberg, you'll like this. I want one of those walking, like the treadmill desks. So whenever we get fat, we can just vlog and walk on the treadmill. Like, how fun? I mean, that would be great if I just basically spend like 8 hours just walking and vlogging.
I will be 1,000% using a hoverboard or that's how I'll be getting on the office. That's guaranteed. I've been like thinking about that for a couple months now. I've always wanted one, and I've had no reason for one. If we have a big old office, funky deck, whatever they're called, getting one.
Do you think that if we are to have like a treadmill or something like that, I feel like this move will be good for the physical well-being of all the bloggers, because I feel like it gets a little more competitive and a little bit more like, I don't want to be the fat guy in the office. You know, like when I looked fat on the rundown the other day, I was like, all right, I gotta do something about this.
That's your own brand. I mean, I don't care.
You don't care about being fat, even though when we're all around, it's gonna be like.
I've told you before. My fatness has nothing to do with my looks. I don't care about how I look. It's about my energy. I get like the fat guy tiredness now, where I'll just like run out of energy after like a couple blocks walking, or you know, like I'll work for a few hours and I'll just be like, "Whew, I am spent." So. Me trying to get skinny has nothing to do with looks. If I could stay fat looking, I think it'd be funnier. But I need to like get the energy back, especially if we're going to be working, you know, in an office.
And I think part of your plan for that is just drugs, correct?
Yeah, I want to get Adderall. So whoever can hit me up with that, that would be great. Shoot up Chicago Tips at barstoolsports.com. And I will be in New York, so it would be nice if you were in New York as well.
This announcement is like 2 hours old, and Dan has bookies and drug dealers getting at him. So that's where Dan's life is headed right now at the moment. I think that like if there was a treadmill and Dan was walking on it, I feel like Feidelberg would be like, all right, well, I'm going to get on my fucking treadmill too. I feel like there's going to be like...
I'm not letting Dan get skinny without me. That's like... Like you said, like no, it'll be very competitive.
That's what I'm saying.
I think Dan and I thought until Dan's reaction to that, I thought we'd already agreed upon gym buddies, but apparently he doesn't.
Gym buddies. Can I tell you the real reason I want to get skinny is so that I can get fat again without like the shame. Because I'm at a point now where I'm fat, and if I keep eating, it's like disgustingly fat. So I want to get skinny so that I can enjoy getting back to like regular fat. Does that make sense?
So, yeah, it does.
You want to just be skinny to pack on like another like to pack on like 15 more pounds after that to get back to where.
Yeah, because the fun part is like when you go from skinny to fat, and the whole time you're like, I'm fine, and then like a year passes, and you're like, oh shit, I'm not fine. So I'm at the oh shit, I'm not fine point. I need to get back to the I'm fine point where you can just enjoy eating like a slob and drinking whatever you want to drink. It makes sense in my head. So.
Yeah, no, I mean. It sounds brilliant to me. Let's see what else we got for tweets. How about from... Where'd it go? I was a sports kid. How is Prez going to handle not being a local celebrity? Now, this is going to be an interesting dynamic of New York as well. Obviously, Portnoy and everybody in Boston, Feidelberg, all you guys, are like full-blown celebrities in Boston. You know, everywhere you go, people know who you are. Chicago, I feel like you really took over, Dan, and kind of, and you know, you have the mustache and just the bigger appearance, so it's just like, there go, you can't mistake Big Cat. New York. I tried to say it nicely. You know, you're not just okay. blending in as an average white guy.
Okay. All right.
All right. You're enormous. Okay. No, but New York is and always has been a totally different animal. I mean, I remember talking to Dave when we first started Barstool New York, and I was saying, no matter how big we ever got, I could become like the fucking most famous blogger on the internet. There's still going to be like 75% of New York City that just doesn't even know what Barstool is, doesn't care about it. They're into like Broadway or into like live music or the ballet or whatever the fuck those people are into in New York City. So it's a totally different dynamic now. It's not going to be like, you know, walking down the block and everybody sucking Prez's dick. How he handles that will be interesting. I feel like everybody else, I feel like it's nice for everybody else. Like, I always loved the fact that it wasn't, like, mobbed every time I went somewhere. Dave, I feel like he says he's okay with it. That ego is not going to handle that well.
He's, oh, baby, he's not. You can tell, too. He gets a little, like, not to say that I don't love, like, running into stoolies, but obviously there's times where I'm like, I just kind of want to be left alone, or, like, I was at Joe's on New Year's Day, and, like, a stoolie came up to me and took a picture with flash, like, 4 inches from my face, and I was like, what the fuck, dude? But Dave, every time you're with Dave and someone says Prez, or, like, hey, yo, Prez, he gets a little pep in his step, and that not happening all the time is going to be a silent killer to Dave.
Or there's going
to
be...
He could be at, like, 21 Oak one night, and Leo could walk in, and everyone could flock to him, and they'd be like, who the fuck is that? Like, I'm El Prez.
Right.
Why the fuck are they El
Prez? Right? There's also going to be definitely times where, you know, a team's in town, and we want to talk to an athlete or an entertainer or someone, and they're going to be like, no, dude, I got to do, like, Fallon and then this and, you know, like, big-time established things, and he's going to be like, what the fuck? What do you mean you don't want to come, like, play in my factory with me? You don't want to come...
You're out of the circle of trust. Yeah. You're out.
There's going to be so many people out of the circle. It's going to be unbelievable. All because they didn't come play, like, air hockey with him in his office.
I think... I mean, that's what happened with Beetle. Beetle had to do, like, some, like, NBC Sports Network photo shoot and had to cancel. And it was just like, all right, you're done. They're fuck out. You.
I mean, I'm going to, like, berate you for years and years and years to come. I think the rest of us will like that. But Dave will be, and Dave will tell you. Like,
I'm no. for it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much better. It's you just blend in. Nobody wants to. Well, here's the thing. I've always said this too. Like, real celebrities, you have to put up with it because you're making like bazillions of dollars.
Right.
Now, if this all pans out and we get rich, by the way, we're not rich. Like, everyone's like, oh, you guys are so rich now. Like, no, we're not. We could.
We're richer than you, but we're not rich.
Right. I mean, we're definitely better than you, more wealthy than you, but. Down the road, maybe things pan out for us. But right now, you know, whatever, it's normal. But celebrities have to put up with that shit because they have the money to back it up. The rest of us, it ain't fun having that kind of stuff go on if you don't have the finances to back that up.
I'm excited for New York for that reason. But I will I'm going to miss Wrigley so much. God damn it.
I mean, you can come out to City with me, Dan.
Fuck that, that's... Fuck that.
Yeah, I had a.
We will be doing a Barstool event for the Cubs Mets game series. I think it's in like July or something, or late June.
No, yeah, I think it's actually 4th of July weekend. So if you're from Chicago, you want to plan a trip around the holiday,
yep.
Come on out. That's going to be a doozy now that we're all in New York.
Yep.
Feidelberg, this is a good question for you. Where did it go? I might have X'd out of it. Anyway, the gist of this question was, you there, Feidelberg? You frozen?
I'm here.
Okay. Are you concerned at all about, like, a Boston curse arising from this move?
Ooh!
A lot of people saying, like, did the Chernin group murder the Patriots, maybe? Could this be the end of, like, the Boston run?
I don't even get it. What do you mean? Well, how?
Let me explain.
Are you talking about, like, a Babe Ruth thing?
Yes. No, I think that Dave Portnoy, we all know that I think he has sold his soul. The rise of Barstool perfectly coincided with the rise of the City of Champions, or whatever it is you guys call it yourselves. You take him out of that, you abandon the city during this whole run, and that's the sort of thing that fucks up the juju. The mojo of the universe is fucked up by this whole Boston abandonment.
I like it.
Of course Dan likes it.
I don't think I hadn't even considered that. I'm certainly not worried about it. I think it's silly to talk about. I got nothing. I don't even have a response. No, I don't foresee anything that could like stop this train right now, especially with nice young Red Sox team, nice young Patriots team. Bruins have a little work to do. Celtics in a great spot. I don't foresee anything happening, really. It just continued dominance, really.
You have no concept of bigger things at play because you're spoiled. This is just like your life, and you're used to it.
Believe in bigger things at play.
Well, I think you're wrong. And I think, Dan, the flip side, you're kind of living out a KFC Radio hypothetical because the Cubs are going to win the World Series next year.
It's the fact that this is, and I said this in a tweet, everyone was saying that I was such a big baby on the NLCS rundown after we got swept, and I was, but the reason why I was such a big baby was I already knew that I was moving to New York, and I knew that basically the Cubs were guaranteed to win a World Series and I wasn't going to be in Chicago.
If we're going to talk about bigger things at play, I think you should take a little credit when they win it and be like, I think me moving was like what inspired this team. And it's a classic hypothetical situation where it's like, would you give up? Would you never want to like be able to see your team if they won a World Series or whatever it may be? That's going to be you. And you're going to be able to take credit for the Cubs World Series. It's the opposite of what Feidelberg's going to experience. Feidelberg, your whole world, you're like O'Doyle. You're driving off the fucking cliff after hitting the banana.
I don't even understand what you guys are talking about right now. How?
Exactly.
That's why. Yep.
You can't even see it, dude.
You can't just say that's why. That's not an explanation.
Because there are times, like Babe Ruth, there are situations that are so massive that the earth gets knocked on its axis a little bit. Dave talked about it with when Shea was born, saying like maybe this would change things.
And it didn't.
But this is bigger. This is bigger than her.
This time it will.
This is bigger than her. This is the guy who sold his soul for that city, now leaving. If you don't think, if that doesn't scare you, you're an idiot.
It like doesn't even a little bit scare me. I don't even know. I'm like half paying attention at this point. You're just talking nonsense. You sound like you're speaking another language.
I'm with you, Kevin. Well, that's a curse. You are. Dave doesn't realize that that's going to be a curse. Maybe not for you, Feidelberg. Well, you'll be hurt by the curse, but this is the Barstool curse. Dave has always said, from the minute he owned Barstool, the Boston teams have had remarkable success from start to finish. He doesn't own all of Barstool anymore, bro.
Put it this way, you have to give up half. You know, like you're going to lose half your teams. That's what he did. You're going to lose like the Patriots and the Red Sox. You're going to have like the Bruins and Celtics to show for it.
Okay, so when the Patriots win the Super Bowl, we can just agree that this is stupid and move on, right? This won't be a thing that carries on once the Patriots win the Super Bowl.
Let me rope you back into the conversation, Mr. Literal here. This comes from Five on the Rhine. This is right up your alley, Feidelberg. In the new office, who will be Michael? Who will be Jim? Who will be Dwight? Who will be Kevin? Who will be Stanley? Et cetera, et cetera. If the office was Barstool, who is everybody?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I think we've blogged this before, but I feel like there's so many new characters since then.
I mean, Dave's obviously Michael.
Yeah. Of course.
I mean, that's not even just the boss thing. It's just like...
He is Michael Scott.
It's like you think we're laughing with you, but it's at you kind of situation.
Right. Yep. For sure. Yep.
I feel like Nate has to be our Creed.
You think Nate's Creed?
Who would be our Creed?
I think Ryan's like really passive aggressive. Like
Nate could be the passive aggressive.
Yeah, Ryan always wants to like be the boss and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Nate is Ryan. I'm trying. I just want to. I want to pin down a Creed, but I don't know if we have anybody who's that bizarre.
Kate, Daddy Dixie might be Creed.
Oh yeah, there we go. Those late night letters are.
No one really knows what he's doing. He's got his own website, like Creed Thoughts, like late night letters. Like it's just like got the ramblings of an insane person.
Like it. Who's Big Cat?
It is a tough one. Big Cat's Dwight. He's like fucking. Dan like has like fucking he has like the Wolverine hands.
And absolutely Dwight.
One of my ideas, and this is going to be on Chernin's credit card. Hope they're ready for this one. I've had this idea forever, where I just basically buy everything off infomercials and review them. Like I'm just going to buy so much fucking junk on the credit card and just have it in the office. It's going to be incredible. Like, haven't you always watched? I always used to watch those late night infomercials. I'm going to buy every single product I see and just test it out. And that will be a video. Like, it's going to be great. It's going to be a whole series. And maybe I'll get drunk for it and, like, we'll get a little dangerous. I don't know. But there'll be a lot of junk in the office.
The office is just going to be filled with, like, slap chops and sham wows and, like, Foreman grills and shit like that.
I mean, haven't you always wondered about that shit? Well, I'm now giving an excuse so everyone can know, like, the real, because all that stuff looks like it works on the infomercial. I'm going to give you the real common man review of it, and you're going to get to decide whether you want to buy the product or not.
Yo, real talk, everything on an infomercial looks awesome. I want all of those things.
And I feel like they're all kind of a little bit fake, so once we get them in the office and I do the review, it's going to be like, all right, well, here you go. Here's Big Cat's real review of the infomercial.
I want to try to create a Barstool game show. Like, every Friday, I bring in, like...
Not Friday,
no,
but yeah.
Not Friday. No one's going to go to work on Friday. But have, like, three contestants come in, three stoolies. They got to answer some questions. Maybe the bloggers, like, help them out, whatever it may be. I want to become the smut Trebek. That's basically my goal here. As far as I think I'd be Stanley in the office, just, like, grumpy and miserable and help Michael.
100%. Playing Sudoku or doing your crosswords or whatever. Yeah, you're definitely standing. I'm trying to think of who K. Marco is.
Maybe K. Marco might be
like... Did you say Jim?
Yeah, he could be.
He could be Jim. This is... Obviously, we're blurring gender lines here. But Angela, maybe? Just like...
Yeah, he is.
Oh, man, K. Marco is Angela.
Up, little bucked up. Little bitchy slash angry all the time. Not all the time. Keith's not angry all the time, but I can see him being an Angela.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one. What's going to be interesting as this company grows and becomes more and more legit, I would imagine we're going to eventually have some female employees, like actual employees. That's going to be weird. When there's a chick in the office, it's just going to be – the whole dynamic's going to change for sure. A lot of changes coming up, man. A lot of stuff. A lot of things going to be a lot of different. So who knows? I don't think we really have a full timetable on when the – actual move is going down, but it's all coming very soon. Train's coming down the tracks. There ain't no stopping it anymore. Any last words regarding the move for now? I'm sure there'll be plenty more to say over the next few months, but on the day that we announce it, any more reaction?
I mean, you can hear right now that the podcast is cutting up, so that is going to be pretty nice. Oh, we're also going to Feidelberg, you're going to hate it, but we're going to get Rico Bosco. I think we might hire Rico Bosco full on. The guy's a character. You don't like him. So that might be our first. You might have to take him in the boxing ring to start off.
Take him in the ring first day, like the Japanese internment camps when someone came and they picked someone to kill first day, like to show their strength. Bosco, you and I ring now.
Maybe that'll be like he'll get a spot with Barstool if he can beat Feidelberg. Maybe that'll be the challenge. If you beat his ass, he's out. If he beats you, he's in. Oh man, we're gonna go through like so much shenanigans like this where it's just gonna be like. Like, we're going to be challenging each other. We're going to be, like, setting things on fire, playing with swords. It's going to be, like, a disaster zone. We're going to need one of those little flip things to say, like, it's been this many days since our last accident. Because it's going to be...
We have one here.
Yeah, bring that along. Bring that for the move.
It's because OSHA made us put it up. OSHA came into the office one day and was like, what the fuck is this place?
I didn't know that.
This is a long time ago.
That's funny. Do you think... We're not going to have, like, HR, are we?
I would imagine so, like at least eventually or whatever. I feel like we're going to have that the COO, whoever is going to be in the office, like that's going to be like dad, I feel like.
Yeah.
Even Dave's not quite dad. I think that other dude, we might have a dad in the office.
That is going to be the one big drawback is if there's someone like breathing down our necks or like performance reviews and shit. Like, hey, you didn't get like this many, you're supposed to hit this many page views. Like, come on. I haven't looked at that shit in 5 years. I sit here writing blogs about the goddamn Islanders. You think that's putting asses in the seats? No. I've been mailing it in the whole fucking time. Doing podcasts without microphones. I've been doing a podcast without a microphone for like 3 years. Now I'm not going to be able to mail it in. It's going to be a culture shock for sure. But, you know, we're rich, so whatever. JFC Radio, moving on up edition in the books. Next week, Portnoy was talking about coming on KFC Radio next week. To maybe address some of these questions on our show. Because, Dan, like you said, he hasn't paid attention to us for like 4 years. Now all of a sudden, we got to hit our podcast numbers, download goals, and he's like, well, I'll come on your show. Perfect fucking timing, Dave.
So funny. So funny. He lucked in, like, his big brain, guys. His big brain. He didn't even realize that podcasts were a thing. We've been doing this for 3 years. His big brain.
Just, you know, thanks, Dave, for all that you do. Your next level brain brought us here. You're the man. All right. We'll catch you guys next week. We're out.
Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com?
It's your boy, KFC.
Become kind of a craze. Become kind of a craze.
Your boy, Big Cat.
Kind of a craze. Kind of a craze.
And your boy, Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.
Where we're moving on.